up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of On The Mix. I'm your host, Lindsay. And today I thought I would share with you guys a compilation of some really crazy stories by none other than Keith Moon. Now, if you don't know anything about Keith Moon, all you really kind of need to know about him is he was the drummer for The Who, and he was notorious for being crazy and doing really insane things while he was in the band, while they were on tour. He would pull pranks. He would like do all these crazy, insane things. He was also known for taking a hell of a lot of drugs and drinking, smashing up hotel rooms. I mean, there are so many crazy stories. Let's just jump right into it. I'm going to do this in chronological order from the earliest memories of when he joined the band to then a few months before his death. So the first thing, 18-year-old Keith Moon, he was auditioning for the band, and this was in 1964, and they had a session drummer with them in the band that would open up shows for them. And Keith Moon was one of those people that they were thinking about bringing into the band, but like they weren't really sure yet. So Keith Moon, 18 years old and full of spunk, told the band that he was better than the session drummer they had gotten for the show that they were going to go to. So he proved them all right by waiting in the wings for the second set of the show to take part. They switched out drummers. And once Keith Moon hopped on the drum kit, he literally was destroying his drum kit just based on the sheer animalistic nature of how he would just bang on those drums with the sticks, how hard he was going, how fast he was going. He was crazy. Everyone kind of knew that, and I think that they were really interested with this crazy person. So once they saw this, they were like, you know what? Okay, you're the drummer for the band now. It's so kind of like early punk rock in a sense, and they were just like a general all-in-all rock band. But Keith Moon was very punk rock for the time, just based on how he acted and like the things that he would do. Like, he was a wicked character. So to give you an overall sense of The Who and how their shows usually work, guitarist Pete Townshend, he would end the show by smashing up one of his guitars. He was kind of punk rock too, to be fair. So Keith Moon, how he would end The Who shows, he would throw his drum set off into the distance and he would set off smoke bombs everywhere, like firecrackers, cherry bombs, smoke bombs, flash and explosives, like literally pyrotechnics, but just for Keith Moon. And there was one incident on their American TV debut, which was September the 17th, 1967. They were on this show called The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. And after their performance of their song, My Generation, Keith set off more smoke powder than he had ever used before, and he nearly blew The Who off of the stage. That's how much it was. I mean, can you imagine all of that smoke, all of that powder, all of that explosives just right there in your face? Waiting in the wings was Betty Davis, by the way, and she nearly collapsed and fell over based upon all the smoke and all the bombs that were going off from Keith Moon. So he loved to create a massive ruckus, and he did not care at all for anything. He didn't care for his safety, the safety of others. He literally just did not care. As long as he was having a good time, that's all that mattered to him. The Who then went on tour with UK band The Herman's Hermits in 1967 in America. And while they were on tour, Keith pranked the other drummer for the band, The Herman's Hermits. His name is Barry. And Keith pranked Barry by putting spiders, but plastic ones, in his bed sheets, which you think, well, that's just like a very childish prank and that's not a massive prank. Well, he did a one-up. And this is kind of insane. He somehow found a bloodied barbecue head of a pig, fresh from the slaughter, blood and all, and he put it at the end of his bed. Kind of like how in The Godfather, spoiler alert, I guess, if you haven't seen The Godfather, the Don Corleone sends this guy a message by killing one of this guy's horses, putting the horse's head wrapped up in his bed sheets at the bottom of his bed, and he wakes up and he's like, oh my God, This was actually before The Godfather, though, so that's literally what ended up happening there. So crazy. Keith Moon literally did it before Francis Ford Coppola did it. For Keith Moon's 21st birthday party in 1967, the band was at a Holiday Inn in Flint, Michigan. A massive food fight transpired amongst the hotel guests, and Keith Moon also smashed a fan on the head with a hotel lamp. And cops ended up showing up to the hotel because, of course, you cannot be having a massive food fight down all the hallways and smashing a fan's head in with a hotel lamp and not have the cops called on you. But Keith had a way of getting himself out of trouble usually, which is, I think, very interesting. Like, he always had like a backup plan, or he always was thinking on his feet. So the cops showed up, but they never arrested Keith Moon because his front teeth had just been knocked out of his head and he needed emergency dental surgery. That's what ended up happening. The cops basically just said, "Don't ever come to Flint, Michigan ever again." And they were like, "Okay." He always just was so mad. And he always just did things like for the gag, like for because it was fun and because he was bored and he just didn't really care about his safety or anyone else's safety. He's just one of those guys that just like had this pent up kind of energy and needed to release it, which is why he's a drummer, or was, I should say. That's why he was a drummer. He never stopped at just using cherry bombs or explosives like that. He actually one time bought an axe when The Who was on tour in Canada. This was in 1968 at their stop in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and he bought an axe. He returned to his hotel room with said axe, and he proceeded to chop up every single piece of furniture to splinters. And when someone came in and asked, "Why are you doing this?" he replied, quote, "Just trying to keep myself out of trouble, mate," end quote. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. To keep out of trouble, you cause the trouble, and you just smash up all the hotel furniture. I mean, I imagine how much money sometimes they'd have to pay the hotel back. There was actually one time where they were staying at this hotel. There's a couple of instances where they were staying at hotels. They got into some seedy trouble there. There were some instances where, you know, they got out of having to pay thousands of dollars. In 1972, this is in Copenhagen, Denmark. This is such an interesting, funny story. This is of the time when waterbeds were, I think, popular at the time. Keith Moon asked Pete Townsend to take his waterbed out from his hotel room and bring it into an elevator where they would send it down the lobby and just have fun with it. The waterbed exploded somehow before they could even take it off of the bed frame completely. Something must have just happened. This hotel bed just came pouring out and it came rushing out into the hallway, causing so much damage. The band was going to be fined thousands of dollars for the bed, but Keith yet again thought on his feet and pulled like a Ferris Bueller type situation where he called the manager and he said, "Hey, my bed burst out of nowhere and it destroyed all my expensive clothes that I have to wear for my show, but it's all ruined. So what do you plan on doing about this situation?" And the manager profusely apologized, like, "Whoa, I am so sorry. I had no idea. Let me upgrade your room to the presidential suite." Well, that's what ended up happening. And of course, you can imagine that while they were in the presidential suite, they also messed up the hotel room. But that's just kind of one of those examples where he just, again, was thinking on his feet all of the time. So it's so interesting to have that intellect because, like, he has the forethought of just not really caring and causing a lot of mayhem, but he also can think on his feet so quick. He can always get himself out of trouble. So I also think one of the most popular stories that seems to be floating around Keith Moon and his crazy antics has to do with one of his cars. As the story gets told, kind of like a game of telephone over the decades, it gets kind of crackled up and the story gets kind of mishmashed. And so the details are a little bit fuzzy. Some people say that his car was a Lincoln Continental. Some say it was a Cadillac. Some say it was a Rolls Royce. But I think most people probably would maybe either put Lincoln Continental or Rolls Royce as the most probable answer for this. But either way, there was a story, a very famous story, that Keith ended up backing his very expensive car into the pool where his birthday party was taking place at this time, at this like mansion. This is a hodgepodge of two different stories coming together to create one. The first story was that Keith accidentally backed up his car into an unfinished, unfilled swimming pool. And then another story they said was Keith ordered a car to be delivered to his house. The Who refused to pay for this new car. He drove it into the estate's pond and called the car dealer to pick it up. So many, many, many years later, Oasis, the band Oasis, on their third album, Be Here Now, the album cover and one of the promotional pictures for the album was a kind of recreation of this Rolls-Royce car that was halfway submerged into an estate's swimming pool. And they were paying homage to that story, which I thought was so cool and so interesting, because that's how I kind of first knew of the story, was Oasis recreating that whole event. So even though the real story is kind of like a mishmash of two different stories put together to kind of create one thing, the basis is still the same, that Keith accidentally backed up his car into an estate's swimming pool somehow. So I just thought that was a really interesting kind of anecdote to kind of throw in there about Oasis and the tie there to Keith Moon, because I thought that's really cool. One of Keith's favorite things to do, like one of his favorite pranks of all time, was to cause ruckus in small British neighborhoods by going around in his car. He would hook up his car to amplifiers and speakers, which were hidden in the car, and this allowed him to keep his windows rolled up while he did what he did. Sometimes he would also take a police bullhorn to do what he was doing. But with these amps and speakers and the bullhorn, he would go around to all these small British neighborhoods and he would create fake public service announcements like, oh my God, a tidal wave is going to crash in through the neighborhood, or oh my God, poisonous snakes are coming in, be on the lookout. Or he would rustle up some feathers by saying something like, the UK government is going to send the entire immigrant population to this particular neighborhood. Like, he just loved to rustle the feathers of everyone and cause a ruckus and, like, cause a bit of a scene. He just liked to cause a scene, like, to cause attention to himself. So much so that one of his other favorite things to do, aside from being vocal like that, one of his other favorite pranks was to dress up in costume. There were moments where he dressed up in drag, famously, and he would go and do shows dressed up in drag and things like that. But there was a favorite costume of his, which was a priest. And one day, he would go about scaring old ladies and screaming swear words at them. And one day while he was walking down Oxford Street in London, Oxford Street's a very, very, very busy populated street in London. He was walking around doing his priestly kind of thing where two quote unquote gangsters dragged him kicking and screaming into a Rolls Royce. This kidnapping, of course, was staged because two of these gangsters were actually two of his musician friends from another band that also would sometimes take part in these kind of like obscene, funny pranks that Keith Moon would do. But it looked convincing enough of a kidnapping to the police that were nearby that the police car tried to stop the Rolls Royce before they could make their getaway. So sometimes they'd be caught red-handed, literally in the moment, by awaiting police that were just hanging around right there. But an event in 1970 happened where some actually crazy things happened that always stuck with Keith Moon up until the day of his death, to kind of get on a little bit more of a serious note here. Keith didn't have a driver's license, by the way. I mentioned he had a couple of cars, and that is true, but he never had a driver's license, even though he would drive all the time. I'm not sure what the laws or the protocol was for that back in the day in the UK, but clearly I think no one really checked if he had a driver's license, I don't think. But he would drive anyway. So in 1970, Keith and some of his friends were out at a pub, and when they were leaving the pub, they were being harassed by a couple of drunk guys. So Keith Moon's chauffeur, Neil Boland, he got out of the car to confront these angry guys. Somehow, an event transpired where once Neil got out of the car to confront these guys, Keith ended up grabbing the wheel of this car, and he accidentally ran Neil over, which ended up dragging Neil across the pavement, and he died. Of course he would, which is so tragic, like a very tragic accident. Keith Moon was cleared of his murder, which I don't know how he would be cleared of his murder because he accidentally did kill him. But apparently this death of his chauffeur, Neil, haunted him for the rest of his days. And maybe that's why Keith Moon would end up taking a lot more drugs, like serious, serious hardcore drugs. And he would drink to excess all the time and he would mix his drugs with his drink. So maybe that kind of was one of the catalysts for his increasing drug use. Another incident that happened with his car and almost dying happened in 1972 when he again was behind the wheel of his new Porsche and he flipped his Porsche into a somersault when he all of a sudden put the car into first gear and it came to a rest only feet from the edge of a cliff. So he could have literally careened off the edge of a cliff and died. It seems like somehow yet again, Keith Moon like kind of has nine lives and he eludes death somehow. You know what? It's almost like Keith Richards. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones, like no one thought Keith Richards would like survive past a certain age because of all the drinking and drugs that he did back in the day with the Rolling Stones, but he is alive. So it's almost the same thing like, oh my God, like Keith Moon somehow, even back all those days and he would do all these crazy things, getting into all this ruckus and mayhem, he somehow survived all these crazy things up until of course his death. But at this point, he was surviving. So as I mentioned, Keith was starting to kind of delve deeper into more hardcore drugs. He took all of these animal tranquilizers. I've heard numerous reports say that he took something like horse tranquilizers, monkey tranquilizers, even something as far as rhinoceros tranquilizers. I am not familiar with how one would acquire such drugs. And back in the day, perhaps it was more readily available of a recreational type of drug, or maybe it wasn't, and maybe Keith had a bit of an in somehow to get these tranquilizers, because literally, if you can imagine, they're made to subdue large animals, right? So he would take these barbiturates, these tranquilizers, and an extremely famous event happened to him in 1973 when the Who were playing a show in America. And Keith ended up taking horse tranquilizers before this show in San Francisco. And he passed out mid-performance on stage. What was actually crazy was that the band tried to revive Keith. And while they were trying to do that off stage, Pete Townsend actually came and he offered this random fan, I believe this fan was about in his teens, a chance to come up on stage and play drums in Keith Moon's stead in front of 14,000 fans. And that actually happened. The fan continued the rest of the concert without Keith Moon. And how crazy of a story is that for this kid to remember that happening? Roger Daltrey actually said this of that event in 1963. Quote, he literally passed out in the second song of the stage. Bang! And he was out for 24 hours. And as this drug left him, the next day we had to push him around in a wheelchair because his legs wouldn't work. So we could give him some stick while we were pushing him in the wheelchair, and then we got him into New York and we laid him in bed. But he sincerely, really, it used to destroy him when he did it. He would be upset that he let us down. He would be incredibly unhappy, end quote. Roger Daltrey actually kind of has a lot to say about Keith Moon. I'll get into that in just a few minutes here. I think he has some incredible insight as to kind of like why Keith Moon like did the things that he did and why he was like predisposed to it, which I thought was interesting, and it actually makes sense when you think about it. Yeah, I mean, you know, of course, you know, Keith for some reason was just very drawn to taking these massive, massive doses of these tranquilizers, these barbiturates, mix them with something like brandy, which was one of his things that he liked to drink. And of course, mixing drug and drink is the worst thing you could do. He passes out on stage in front of 14,000 fans. I think that would make him a bit embarrassed, of course, that happened. But also at the same time, it didn't stop him from continuing to do it and continuing to cause havoc amongst not only his friends, but neighbors as well. A very famous story as well happened in 1974 when Keith tried to use a costume of his to annoy his Malibu neighbor, actor Steve McQueen. He just tried to make friends with Steve McQueen and Steve's wife, but Steve made it clear that he preferred his privacy, as I think a Hollywood actor should have their privacy. But Keith Moon, being who he is, would not take no for an answer. Keith ended up forcing his way into their house, and he ended up getting bitten by the family dog. But reportedly, Keith Moon bit the dog back, which is horrible. That's just the mindset that Keith Moon was in. He just didn't care. When Steve brought the police in to handle this situation, Keith ended up showing up for the meeting dressed as a Nazi general. He had all these random costumes, and one of these costumes that he liked to dress up in to kind of ruffle everyone's feathers was like a Nazi general, which is so crazy. But after that incident, he ended up leaving his neighbors alone. So I think he ended up getting the gist, like, okay, they don't want me doing these crazy things. Like, all right. Another incident that happened with a Hollywood actor. This one is actually pretty funny, and this is actually genuinely just like a soft type of prank. So Keith Moon became friends with actor Oliver Reed during the filming of the movie Tommy for the album that they came out with. Oliver Reed already apparently had the reputation of being kind of like a hellraiser in his own right. He would actually end up telling Keith Moon biographer Tony Fletcher that, quote, Keith showed me the way to insanity, end quote, which I think is actually a very accurate thing to say, because that is true. Keith Moon is the definition of insanity. So this incident took place in 1975. Oliver Reed was walking the red carpet at a Hollywood film premiere when he was suddenly hit in the face by a lemon curd pie. Just out of nowhere, someone comes up and smashes him in the face with a pie. And as he wiped the pie residue from his eyes, he was approached by a stranger who handed him a card in an envelope. The card read, quote, Pie in the Face International, end quote. It also read, quote, You have been selected by Mr. Keith Moon to become a member, end quote. Then he opened up the envelope, and inside was a certificate that read, quote, You are a member, sponsored by Keith Moon, end quote. I mean, I think that out of all of his pranks, I think throwing a pie in someone's face is pretty funny. So, like, yeah, I'll take that. That's a pretty easy breezy prank. I will take that. That's a funny prank. I'll take that. This is a situation following now in which he was actually close to death. So in 1976, Keith Moon ended up passing out on their Quadrophenia tour in Boston, Massachusetts. He ended up taking a mixture of barbiturates with brandy, and the show had to be postponed. The next day, Keith actually cut himself while wrecking his hotel room yet again, and he passed out on these barbiturates and on this brandy mixture that he likes to take. Their manager, luckily, like genuinely, thank God his manager was there, because he found Keith in his room and he ended up taking him to a hospital where the doctors ended up telling his manager that if he hadn't found Keith when he did, that Keith would have bled out due to his injuries and he would have died. That's actually insane. Keith actually got an extra 2 years on his life because he ended up passing away in 1978. So he ended up getting 2 extra years onto his life, which I think we have to thank his manager for that, because, yeah, he would have bled out. His injuries were so dire. And then the last antic that Keith Moon has done that I thought was wildly insane to truly believe. Keith Moon almost nearly killed not only himself, but many others while on board a flight from Mauritius to England. But while in the air, Keith suddenly got the urge to visit the plane's pilots, and he suddenly broke into the flight deck and he began drumming on the cockpit console, which I don't know why no one would have stopped him before he would have started doing that. But if you can imagine, he was pressing all these buttons, right? All these buttons on the cockpit console. Everyone nearly almost died. Like, they had to make a quick landing somewhere else while Keith Moon was escorted from the plane. Of course he would be escorted from the plane. He almost killed himself and everyone. After a blood test, he flew home the next day by himself. So, of course, they wanted to see what was in his system. And, of course, it was his favorite concoction of things. That, in a nutshell, are the craziest stories that I pieced together to best represent who Keith Moon was as a person. Absolutely insane. But I can take it even one step further, and I can give you some more information and more insight on Keith Moon from someone that actually knew him in life, and that's Roger Daltrey. Roger Daltrey is the lead singer of The Who. And he had these 3 quotes to say about Keith Moon. The first one is, quote, He obviously had an addictive personality. I've never known anyone that takes the amount of booze, drugs that Mooney did, end quote. So that's what I was saying before. Like, he was just kind of, you know, giving, he was giving us an insight into why Keith Moon did some of the things that he did. Roger Daltrey actually alluded to the fact that he thought that Keith Moon had some kind of like developmental disorder of sorts. And he thought that that could be the reason why it attributed to what it did. Any number of factors developmentally that he had going on could have easily attributed to the reasons of which he did all these crazy things. And he had this penchant for going around and being a bit of a nuisance and a ruckus and scaring people and like not really caring about the law and the lives of others and himself. I mean, but that's just something that Roger Daltrey was just explaining, that he had an addictive personality, which also, yes, of course, like an adrenaline junkie. Like he needed all this craziness going on, all the chaos in his life to live in that and for it to make sense for him. Another thing that Roger Daltrey said was, quote, "We used to get pissed at him because we cared about him. We could see the inevitability of what was going to happen, but he had seemed to have 9 lives, end quote. Absolutely. Yet again, somehow, Keith Moon has alluded not only like getting caught by the police and all these other instances, but he avoided and alluded death. Not only car crashes, but almost plane crashes and almost, you know, bleeding out to death and overdosing on barbiturates and drink. I mean, that all of those factors together truly lends itself to the notion of, yeah, I mean, like Keith Moon, I for sure think had 9 lives. I think that definitely like makes sense because any other person would have died upon any of these activities. And the last thing that I have to say is a very nice quote that he was just saying about Keith Moon as a person. And I thought that we should end it here because regardless of all the crazy antics, all of the insane pranks that he pulled, he all in all was a very interesting person. So Roger Daltrey has to say this quote, "He was maddening a lot of the time. A lot of the stuff that he did that people laugh, they think, oh, that was really funny. When you're there at the time, some of it wasn't funny at all. But he was such a wonderful kid. He was such an enormous character. Every facet of his personality was way out there, you know. He was the most loving, the most hurtful, respectful, most caring. It was all completely like fireworks," end quote. I think to say that it was all like fireworks kind of wraps up this podcast episode very nicely. Because it started out with a bang, Keith Moon taking his own initiative, right, with kind of going out there and doing the pipe bombs and the smoke bombs and the explosive powders, to Roger Daltrey saying that it was all completely like fireworks about Keith Moon and his personality, and it ties it all together nicely. So I just thought I would take it in a bit of a different route today and just kind of give you guys an interesting story to kind of sink your teeth into the maddening mind of Keith Moon. But thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed and that you learned something today that you hadn't known about before. I will see you guys next Wednesday with another episode of On the Mix. Talk to you guys later. Bye, guys.